Salutations. We are pop culture.
Hey, welcome back to episode. Where are we at? What are we at, gentlemen? 32. Episode 32. The year that was 1978. We're wrapping up our four-part series, and we are today in the hot seat is Bob and Dave, since both of them were graduated in 1978. Hey, my name is Brian Burchett Ross, and I am your host here on Pop Culture for the last 32 episodes. If you are hearing this, by the time you're hearing this, I am probably either in the air on my way to Dublin, or have just landed, or the airplane could be in the middle of the ocean. Who knows?
But Jesus, hope not.
Well, then they'll never hear this.
Well, that's no. Well, no. I'm going to drop it right before I leave. So, you know, though this could be my last. I'm going to miss you guys. Anyway, no, just joking.
Can I have the porch?
That's yeah. Right. Oh, they're already grabbing my stuff, folks. No pun intended. Anyway, so
that goes without saying. Oh, my Lord.
So, hey, 1978, the year that Dave and Bob graduated high school. It was a pretty big year, kind of. I was looking up the stuff that we normally talk about. And so let's just get started. Let's get started. And then we'll talk about events and what we remember and all that. But let's get started with some stats. The top grossing movies of 1978, the year that you two graduated, some huge hits. Number 20, the animated version of Lord of the Rings.
Ralph Bakshi.
Yep. Number 19, The Cheap Detective.
Peter Falk.
That was a Peter Falk. Mm-hmm. Number 18, House Calls. I want to say that was Richard Dreyfuss.
Hey, sounds right. What's her name?
Mason.
Yeah, they did a couple movies.
They did two movies together, and I think that was the second one, yeah. That turned into a sitcom with Vanessa Redgrave and Wayne Rogers, by the way. Number 17. Number 17.
One Cat from Outer Space.
No. One of my favorite, probably my all-time favorite Burt Reynolds, Dom DeLuise movie, The End.
That was good.
The End.
I remember seeing that.
Yeah, that was a good movie. Number 16, Coming Home. Vietnam.
John Voight.
Yep, John Voight. Number 15, talk about an uplifting movie. I laughed throughout the whole thing. Midnight Express.
Oh, yes.
Jeez.
I believe there's a little
sarcastic.
Well, you know.
That was disturbing.
It was a disturbing movie, yeah. Number 14, talk about depressing, Revenge of the Pink Panther.
Now, that's
it ran
totally
its course.
Fair.
It ran its course.
It did.
Yeah.
Number 13, Foul Play.
Well, especially since Pink Panther referred to the diamond and not to the detective.
Yeah, they never.
Play that Chevy Chase.
Right? Chevy Chase and Goldie Hawn.
Oh, yeah.
God, I love Goldie Hawn. But I can't remember, is that the first one or second one?
Was there two of them?
Yes. They did two.
They did? Oh, that must have been the first one.
Foul Play, and then there was another one. One had Dudley Moore in it, but I can't remember which one that was. Number 12, Dudes, Up in Smoke. So,
Cheech and Chong.
Number 11, California Sweet.
Neil Simon, Alan Alda.
I think Carol Burnett was in that as well.
Yep.
Number 10, looks like we got ourselves a convoy.
Oh, yeah.
So they were riding the rails of that one. Yeah. Number 9, the original, the best, the first, Halloween.
Yes.
Number 8, another classic comedy, The Deer Hunter.
I love The Deer Hunter.
I cried and then laughed.
That was intense.
That was very intense. Number 7, I don't remember this movie at all. Hooper.
Oh, it was Burt Reynolds. He played a stuntman.
Yeah. Was it flying?
No, it was a stuntman. He played a stuntman.
Just a stuntman. Yeah. For some reason, I remember biplane being in it.
It might have been.
Yes.
I don't remember that one at all. Yeah. Number 6.
So two Burt Reynolds that year.
Yeah. Heaven Can Wait.
Oh.
Which was Warren Beatty.
Warren Beatty.
It's a remake of Here Comes Mr. Jordan.
Okay.
If I remember correctly.
Yes, it was was Mason.
Number five, Jaws 2.
Yeah. Just when you thought it was
safe to go back in the water. I actually like the ending to Jaws 2 better than the original.
Me too.
I like the movie better, the first one better, but the ending, I kind of like the second one. Had a little more tense.
Dragged it out a little more.
Yeah. Number four, Every Which Way But Loose. Right Turn, Clyde. Yep. Bob started to do it. Right Turn, Clyde.
Clint Eastwood and that orangutan, right?
Yeah. Clint Eastwood, the orangutan, and can't remember that skinny broad who was in it.
Oh.
The skinny lady that was in it.
Who was he married to at that time?
He was married to her, yeah. But I just thought she was... I apologize to whoever she is. I'm sure she's listening.
Lockhart? No, not Lockhart. Mm.
Dirty Dishwater.
Number three, Superman.
Oh.
Number one on our hit list today.
And number two, God, I love this movie, National Lampoon's Animal House.
Yeah!
That to me was like... God, that was comedy gold to me. And the number one movie in 1978, gentlemen, Grease. That was the word. All those teenagers playing the teenager roles. I would too, actually. But
Sandra Locke.
Yeah. Sandra Locke. That was it. Grease was the number one movie.
Yeah. So Animal House, those one that probably made the most profit for its studio.
Oh, man.
Oh, Universal.
And didn't cost anything to make. And
I know they got a lot of my money.
They got a lot of money in that.
Yeah. Well, Grease made, let's see, what does it say here?
Grease cost more to make is what I was getting at. Yeah. Superman, of course, cost quite a bit.
Oh, yeah.
Especially for the time.
I remember the Animal House.
I'm surprised, though, that Cat from Outer Space isn't on there because that's the true classic that has held up over the past 40 years.
Don't ask him about the cult Black Cauldron.
Yeah, is there a Black Cauldron? Animal House was rated R, and I know every time we went, they said, are you 18? I'm 18. That was a first, that, oh my gosh. There was a lot of flashing going on.
Oh, yeah.
We went back several times claiming to be 18. They didn't really check.
That was back when you could joke about the fact that a college kid took a high school girl.
Oh.
Look how funny this is. Ha, ha, ha. But
what about the teacher?
Oh, yeah, the teacher, too. Yeah. Oh, yeah, the teacher and the... That was...
Donald Sutherland.
That was the late, great Donald Sutherland. Yeah. But the Oscars told a different story.
They always do.
So let's...
Well, the Deer Hunter would have taken a few.
I think they did.
Well, let's find out.
Cinematography.
Let's find out. There was an actor in the leading roles. The nominees were John Travolta in Saturday Night Fever. Now, you got to remember, these are for the year before.
Right, I said, the trouble with the Oscars is, yeah.
Yeah, they're always the year before. Marcello Mastroianni.
Marcello.
A Special Day. But it's not the one that he was.
The piano or whatever.
That was later on.
Yeah, okay.
Richard Dreyfuss in Goodbye Girl. Woody Allen in Annie Hall. And Richard Burton in Equus. So who do you think took the Oscar home?
I think it was Woody.
Woody?
No.
Yeah, nothing like a good Woody. Ron saw that one coming a mile away. What do you think, Ron?
Probably Woody Allen.
Yeah, what do you think, Dave?
Name them again, please.
Richard Dreyfuss, Woody Allen, Richard Burton, Marcello Mastroianni, John Travolta. What do you think about it? It was Richard Dreyfuss, the Goodbye Girl. Now, actor in a supporting role, the nominees were Maximilian Schell in Julia, Peter Firth in Equus, Alec Guinness in Star Wars.
Oh, wow.
Jason Robards in Julia, and Mikhail Brezhnikov in The Turning Point. Just some huge, huge movies there and names. So who do you think took that one? I know. It's like, ooh, yeah, that's such a big name. Who cares?
I don't think it's Alec. I don't think they would give him enough credit. He didn't have a lot of meat to it. What was the other one? Not Mikhail.
Peter Firth for Equus, Jason Robards for Julia, Maximilian Schell for Julia.
Maximilian Schell.
Any idea?
I'm going to go with Jason Robards.
Okay, what about you, Bob?
Jason Robards.
It was Jason Robards.
Really?
Yeah. pretty much. That was it. Actress in a leading role. Ooh, we had Marsha Mason in The Goodbye Girl, Diane Keaton in Annie Hall, Anne Bancroft in The Turning Point, Jane Fonda in Julia, and Shirley MacLaine in The Turning Point. Anybody want to take a guess who took that Oscar?
I think that was Diane Keaton's year.
I think so, too.
Diane Keaton, yes.
Yeah, probably.
It was.
Yeah.
Annie Hall. Yeah. Yeah, I got that one.
Enthusiasm just dripped.
Well, I was four,
You stayed up that night to watch
it. I did.
Yeah, I did.
Are you 18?
I had her in my Oscar pool.
Did you?
The movie was enough that it influenced fashions. Everybody started dressing like Annie Hall.
That's right, yeah.
Yeah, it did. It sure did.
Sloppily.
Actress in a supporting role that year. It was Tuesday Weld in Looking for Mr. Goodbar. That's a laugh a minute. Leslie Brown in The Turning Point. Vanessa Redgrave in Julia. Quinn Cumming in The Goodbye Girl. That was the little girl, I think, in that one. And Melinda Dillon in Close Encounters of the Third Kind, which I didn't know had any actors that got nominated for that. So I was kind of surprised. Who do you think took it home that? I know, another just round of...
You said just throw something out, Ryan. Again.
What's that?
Who were the first three again?
Tuesday Weld, Looking for Mr. Goodbar, Leslie Brown, The Turning Point, Vanessa Redgrave, Julia, Quinn Cummings, The Goodbye Girl, and Melinda Dillon in Close Encounters.
I think it was Vanessa Redgrave.
Vanessa Redgrave.
I'm going to say Quinn.
Give me Leslie Brown.
Well, all right, let me get her number. By the way, what's her name never called you back, did she?
No, I'm still waiting.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. It was Vanessa Redgrave. Yeah, you're right.
And the what's her name is Monica Lewinsky.
I just couldn't think of it. Yeah, that's a throwback. Director that year. Big names here, gentlemen. The Turning Point, Herbert Ross. Star Wars, George Lucas. Julia, Fred Zimmerman. Steven Spielberg, Close Encounters of the Third Kind, and Woody Allen, Annie Hall. Who do you think took that one?
Woody.
Home?
I knew Woody would have something.
You're just
Woody.
I know. You're just waiting for that Woody to pop up, aren't you? and like a softball now and then. And when Dave rolls his eyes, it makes it all the worthwhile. What do you think, Ron?
Woody Allen.
Oh.
I agree.
Threesome.
Yeah, Woody Allen. Yeah, it was.
Now, who should have won?
Oh, yeah.
Steven Spielberg.
Steven Spielberg, yeah.
Yeah,
George
absolutely.
Lucas.
Well, I think, that was a Spielberg. That should have been Spielberg. Best Picture that year. The nominees were The Turning Point, Star Wars. Well, we all know that wasn't it. Julia, Annie Hall, and The Goodbye Girl. Anybody want to take a guess?
I think it was Annie Hall.
I have one big day.
My memory is Annie Hall took most everything.
It was Annie Hall.
We didn't even get costume design.
No, I didn't. I didn't go down those smaller rabbit holes. Although I do know Star Wars was one, and when I was glancing through that, they did special part of the costume.
Star Wars probably lost special effects to Close Encounters.
Yeah,
that wouldn't surprise me.
Yeah.
Yeah. Emmys. Let's turn to television for 1978. Outstanding Comedy Series. I'm impressed with these nominees. Of course, now we're going back into what I think. 70s to me had the greatest television. We had nominated with Soap. Dave's all-time favorite, Three's Company. Barney Miller.
I just can't believe the Three's Company was nominated. Okay.
All in the Family and MASH. That's what you had. Soap, Three's Company, Barney Miller, MASH, and All in the Family. Who took it in 1978?
I think it was MASH. I think All in the Family was winding down at that point.
I'm going to say Three's Company just because.
All in the Family.
Yeah, I'm going to say All in the Family.
It was All in the Family.
Yeah,
but surprisingly, I would have probably gone with MASH. Although MASH was,
MASH was coming.
Had a couple more years left to go.
Yeah. MASH got into the more serious stuff.
Correct.
At the end.
Yeah.
Correct.
Yeah, I agree. A lead actor in a comedy series that year. was Henry Winkler, Alan Alda, Carol O'Connor, Hal Linden, and John Ritter.
Did you ever say John Ritter? Woody Allen.
I just, when all else fails, just go with Woody. What do you think won that? Ooh. I mean, that's a good, good list.
Time I'm going to go with Carol O'Connor.
Yeah, I'd say that.
Yeah, what do you think? It was Carol O'Connor. Yeah.
John Ritter was robbed.
John Ritter was robbed. I agree with you. Lead actress in a comedy series. It was Katherine Damon from Soap and Katherine Hellman from Soap, Jean Stapleton, Bea Arthur, Valerie Harper, and Suzanne Plachette.
Oh, geez.
Again, huge names, great comedic actresses.
I think that was Bea Arthur's year.
So then there was Maude. All right.
Jean Stapleton.
Gene Stapleton for Bob.
This seems like deja vu from our 1981 podcast.
Yeah, it is.
Well, Isabel Sanford's not in this one.
Yeah.
Because we weren't recognizing them. 1978, we didn't recognize them back then. Yeah. Oh, I'm going to say simple shit. Yeah, I said it. I was four. I didn't know any better.
I'm going to say Suzanne.
I think Suzanne Plachette is who I would have guessed too, but it was Gene Stapleton. Bob got that. Yeah, it was Gene. And then there's Gene. Supporting actor in a comedy. The nominees were Gary Berghoff and Harry Morgan, both from MASH. Mm-hmm. Rob Reiner, All in the Family. Tom Bosley, Happy Days. And Vic Tabak.
Oh,
Alice.
Alice.
Yeah. I'm going to go with Vic Tabak.
Are you going with Vic?
I'm going with Vic.
All right. Wow. Anybody else want to go with Vic?
He was Mel.
He was Mel from beginning to end, yeah. And what
I'll
else?
I'll say Vic.
Wow, you're going to go with Vic too. All right.
I'll go Rob Reiner.
Rob Reiner for Ron. What are you going to do, Bob?
Rob Reiner.
Well, Bob and Ron got that. It was Rob Reiner. Yep. Apparently, All in the Family was huge in 78, or 77, really, because, again,
now
just
now
like...
I got to go back and see what episodes they had in 78 that were...
Yeah, that was... So it made that... supporting actress in a comedy series. Interesting.
Sally Struthers.
Whoa.
Sally Struthers is one of the nominees. Holly Holiday, Alice, Nancy Walker, Rhoda, Julie Kavner, Rhoda, and Loretta Swit, MASH.
I'm going to say Nancy Walker.
Kiss my grits.
And you're going with Polly. Interesting.
I'll say Loretta Swit.
Loretta Swit.
I'm going with Sally just because.
All in the Family. None of you got it right. It was Julie Kavner from Rhoda. Before she was Marge. Before she was Marge. And then finally, because I don't go any farther than this, but Outstanding Drama Series. We had that year Columbo.
Scares me.
Rockford Files. Just one more question. Columbo, Rockford Files, Lou Grant, Quincy, and Family.
Well, that's right. Dallas didn't premiere till September of that year.
So who do you think?
I didn't think Lou Grant was that early.
You know what? That surprised me. I actually did go down. I had to look. And that was the very first year and the year before. I thought Mary Tyler Moore lasted longer than that.
Yeah, so did I.
But they didn't.
They went out early. It could have. I'm sure it could have gone on for a couple more seasons. But they
wanted to go on top.
They made a choice.
Yeah. So, but who do you think won
I
that?
I think it was Family.
You know what? I'm gonna say Lou Grant.
I'll go Lou Grant as well.
Lou Grant.
It was my man, Jim Rockford. Rockford
Files. Jim Garner, the man's
James
man.
James Garner, man's man.
The drama might be the wrong category for Jim Rockford. Well, for Rockford Files, though. But
yeah, but they hit what other category? I mean, you know, you had comedy and drama, comedy, and that's all murder, you had.
Murder comedy.
Murder comedies.
Even Columbo was kind of lighthearted when you get down to it.
Oh, yeah. By the way, speaking of which, a little bit of a tangent. Have you seen the show Elsbeth? It's on CBS.
Not. I know it's a spinoff of, it came out of another show. What show was it?
It did. I didn't know that.
Yeah, the one with, what's her face?
She wears a shirt.
What's the name?
She wears.
Sometimes wears earrings.
Oh, her.
Slut.
You'd know her if you saw her.
Yeah. Well, anyway, it's a really good show.
The one that came out, A Good Wife.
Juliana Margulies.
No, but the spinoff of that.
With the other one that was in the played the white the mother in Birdcage.
Sybil's best friend.
Sybil. I can't think. Five men of a certain age.
And I may be wrong about where it spun off of.
But Elsbeth is.
But my sister knew the character, and I think she watches
that.
A Good Fight.
Yeah, okay. Elsbeth really is so much like Columbo.
Yeah.
When
I saw the previews and stuff, I said, "That's got to."
It's
like a female Columbo.
Yeah, it pretty much is. I mean, she's quirky, she's odd, and it starts with you see who the killer is, you see how they do it, and then you see her just immediately going, "Oh, it's got to be him," and then she just needles that person until
does she have just one eye?
It's a spinoff of the good, yeah. According to Wikipedia, it is a spinoff of The Good Wife.
No, that's Sally Duncan.
But according to Wikipedia, it's a spinoff of The Good Wife and The Good Fight.
Yeah, I didn't know that. I didn't know that. Darn it,
I thought I had that. Anyway. Unconventional attorney who ends up working as a de facto detective.
But it's a good show if you like those type of things.
It'll be coming especially back like this Columbo. Season. So.
Then we have our Billboard Top 20 year end of 1978. The music that made the year great. Dave's going to do some guessing before we start.
I'm going to do some singing.
I would say most of the soundtrack from Grease. Summer Loving.
Maybe Saturday Night Live or Saturday Night to
Fever. Grease is the word.
Night on Disco Mountain.
Yeah, I know that Meatloaf 2 out of 3 Ain't Bad came out that year.
It did.
Bad Out of Hell. Is that the one?
But it didn't make the top 20. It made 24.
But did Grease make the top 20?
Well, let's find out. Let's find out, Dave. Number 20 was Dance, Dance, Dance by Chic.
Okay.
I have no idea what that song is.
Dance, dance, dance.
The title says it all. The title says the lyrics.
That's some more.
Silly me.
No, it's a bad, bad, bad. It's number quasi disco, quasi.
We're going to move on. Pop. Number 19 by Yvonne Elliman. If I can't have you.
If I can't have you, I don't want nobody, baby.
If I can't have you.
She played Mary in JC Superstar.
Did she?
She did.
I did.
In the movie version. Yeah.
Oh, yeah, yeah. Okay, now that name looks familiar. Number 18 was Wings with a Little Luck.
With a little luck, we can work it out.
Yep. Number 7. I know our listeners are going to go, thank God when these are over, because they'll stop singing.
Send a donation of $15.
There you go. Number 17. Just the Way You Are, Billy Joel.
Don't go changing.
That's right. Which he doesn't like singing now in his concerts.
Because he ended up divorcing her.
Yep. And so I think the four times I saw him, he sang it just once. Yeah. And it was one of the. Now, the interesting, I'll give you a little bit of trivia on that that's interesting. The B-side to that 45, for all of you out there that might be listening, that I don't know what that was. My Siri came out.
She says, please quit singing.
Yeah.
She deals with a man.
Ron's decided to play with his teddy bear, gummy bears. The B-side to that was not a hit until the generation after ours found it and fell in love with it, and now he plays it at every concert, and that's Vienna.
Vienna was the B-side of that.
And it was never a hit, but then it's like the generations after us picked it up. And one of my son's ultimate favorites, he couldn't wait to hear him play it in concert. And he says every time in
that
concert.
That was actually my son's senior song.
Was it really?
Vienna?
Yeah, just graduated 2022.
And for our younger listeners, in the old days when records came out of plastic, it had the top part and then you flipped it over to the B side.
Yes.
Unlike CDs, which you don't even know about either. records and cassette tapes, look those up.
Yeah, there was a whole bunch of things.
We'll get you started on 8-tracks.
But anyway, so that was 17. 16, Miss You, the Rolling Stones.
Mm.
And I'm not...
Miss You.
Okay. Miss You. Okay. Thank you, because I couldn't peg that one.
Boy.
Number 15, yep. Eric Clapton, Lay Down Sally.
Lay down Sally.
Let me in your arms.
Something.
Appearing in
it's very countryish for an English guy.
Yeah. I've been waiting all night long just to talk to you.
Number 14. Number 14 was Samantha Sang singing Emotion.
Which was written by B.G., what's his name? Barry Gibbs, I believe.
Really?
Yeah.
It's just emotion.
Because they sang on it, too.
Oh, yeah, they did sing that, too. Yeah.
Well, wasn't that on the Saturday Night Fever?
I don't know. It might have been. I'm not sure. Number 13, John Travolta and Olivia Newton-John, You're the One That I Want.
You're the one that I want.
Ooh, ooh, ooh,
honey.
Baby.
Baby.
Number 12, Paul Davis. I think this was a one-hit wonder, too. I go crazy when I look in your eyes. I go crazy. Yeah, I love that song. Number 11, Frankie Valli. Grease is the word.
There you go, Dave.
So
this one's actually
that's the second
the
one. Second one of Grease already.
Yep, so. And that's and now we're in the top ten. Mm-hmm. The Commodores. You're once, twice.
Feet times amazing.
It's nice. And the Commodores. I didn't realize the Commodores had hits that late.
I think that was right before Lionel Richie left. But yeah, thank you for doing it because I thought I was hoping somebody would do that. Yet once. Number 9, A Taste of Honey, Boogie Oogie Oogie. Gonna boogie oogie do the sun. Okay, number 8, Andy Gibb, Love is Thicker Than Water. I never listened to Andy Gibb, so I couldn't tell you what that song was.
Andy Gibb didn't listen to Andy Gibb.
It's Thicker Than Water.
Number 7, Player with Baby Come Back.
Baby Come Back.
Any kind of fool could see. There was
blind.
Yep. Number 6, The Bee Gees with, and this is my ultimate favorite Bee Gees song, How Deep Is Your Love? I love that song. Yeah. Number 5, Exile. I want to kiss you all over.
Adam Sandler's version of that is phenomenal.
I've never heard that. Is it really? I'm going to have to look that up now. Number 4, Bee Gees, Staying Alive. No. Number 3, my God, I despised this song back then. I still dislike it. It was so overplayed to me. Debbie Boone.
Oh,
you let it light up my life. It's like, oh, for Pete's sake.
Competing people doing the sign language version of it. The first one was on the Grammys, and they had someone translating on the left of stage and the right of stage.
Really?
The next Emmy, I think it was Emmy? Yeah, it was the television one.
Yeah.
And all of a sudden, there were 12. And the next time you saw it on the Bob Hope special, he had 24 on each side. So everybody kept getting bigger and bigger and bigger with the sign language.
I do know that it won the best song for the Oscar that year, too.
Everybody was deaf.
Number 2, Bee Gees again, Night Fever. Night Fever. And the number one song for 1978, gentlemen, Andy Gibb, Shadow Dancing. Huh.
Really?
I figured there'd be more
Grease. Yeah. No, it was just You're the One That I Want, and then it's Grease. And I thought Grease would have been farther up there, honestly. So those were the popular, the popular things.
Because Saturday Night Fever didn't come out in 78, right?
I thought it was 77.
So yeah. It's everything coming after that.
Right. Right. Hey, Julie. I'm going to ask you gentlemen a question, so hit that song. Tap that song, Julie. Tap it.
Getting to know you. Getting to know all
Thanks,
about
Julie.
You.
Julie's contract is being redone as we speak. Anyway, your getting to know you question. And we're going to exclude Ron from this just because. Aww. But Ron, truly, if you can think of it. Ron was still crawling, folks.
I was 4.
You were 4.
So all the information that I have in my head is spotty at best.
I understand that.
So
I understand that. But let's go around the table. We're going to leave these two for last, because it's their time. But what do you remember? What do you personally remember about 78, Jeff?
78. That was the year before I started high school, and we went out to my sister's out in San Diego for the very first time.
Thought he was going to say Muskegon.
No, I remember, prior to Muskegon.
And he didn't go see Star Wars out in California.
That's right, he did not go see Star Wars.
You remember that, yeah, I did that. What is this? So I do remember that was my first trip out there. However, we went to go to Universal Studios. I was all excited to see the Jaws thing.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
And just like in True Life, the shark wasn't working on the Yeah.
Right.
They had it hanging from a big rack, but it was not in the
moose at the front, and I told you.
Yeah. Jonestown. I remember that. Remember the big thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty much what I didn't have a whole lot. San Diego was the big thing for me out there because we drove out there, and mom and dad went to Route 66. Mm-hmm. When dad was in the Marine Corps, they drove out there Route 66, so they wanted to follow the same thing. There was plenty of Stuckies out there that we saw. A lot of the tourist traps that were there back in the 50s and 60s weren't really in existence back in the 70s, late 70s, but we saw a few. So that's what I remember.
I swear, I think that they don't take pictures of Mars. I think it's Arizona. I just keep expecting to see a Stuckies. and mine, and then we'll get to the gentleman of the month. Mine was I went from elementary school to Cantrick, which was where you first got every kid of that certain age in one school. That's the first time I had to go from classroom to classroom to classroom. Yeah. I remember I was terrified. The blizzard of 1978.
Oh, that's right. My gosh, that's right.
That was huge because
huge.
I had the chicken pox and could not leave my room. I watched my family going up and down on snowmobiles, having the time of their life, and I was trying not to scratch. My mother putting mittens on, the whole bit.
Gosh,
so, and the only other thing I remember that was a year I was in band at that time. I wasn't in choir, but we did a song, the Popeye theme, and Mike Loveridge, who was the band director at that time, who knew I couldn't play clarinet worth crap, said, "Brian, we're going to dress you up like Popeye. I want you to sing the Popeye thing." So that was one of my first solo moments on stage. I was singing Popeye. So, that was kind of a hoot. the only other thing I will say this, and this is because, it's not me unless I have a downer. So I got to throw a downer in there. This is horrible to say, but it's the truth. I remember this vividly. I had this really nice dressed down pink shirt that I picked out, actually. My mom's like, "You sure you want to? Yeah, I want to wear this. It's really cool looking." And the first day I wore it to school, I had two jocks call me a fag. Mm. So that was, and that's the first time that's. God, Ron.
It's like, just read the room, Brian.
I know. Well, so that was the first time I'd ever had that sort of thing happen. But you know what? Nowadays, it's like, yes. Yoo-hoo. Anyway.
He's wearing pink today.
And I am wearing pink today. So let's go to our two main gentlemen here. 1978, the year you graduated. I don't care which one of you goes first. But Dave, Bob, what do you remember about that year?
Well, quite a few things, but nothing. Most of it was taken, of course, by graduating high school, senior year of high school, of course. Mm-hmm. But, Superman came out that year. Like I said, also The Cat from Outer Space. but Superman, so that was quite a moment for those of us in the comic book world because it was the first time a comic book hero had really gotten back to the big screen since, I would say, forever, since Superman and the Mole Men in the 50s with...
I say 66 is Batman movie. But
the Batman movie. There we go. That was it. But I mean, in a serious way.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely.
Bob, I think, mentioned it a couple episodes ago. But that moment when he sat down and that big giant S shield came onto the screen and that music, John Williams music blared. Mm-hmm. That was just like coming home for those of us there. And then it all went downhill from that point.
Yeah.
not the movie, that movie, but the whole series.
Yeah.
We will forget Superman 3 and Superman 4 and.
The Money Men took over.
And Supergirl, that happened in that series. That just, yeah, the Money Men took over and they totally blew it.
Yeah.
But they went to the comic and not to the what's really at the heart of the character. But that's typical of Hollywood. You know, it took Marvel to figure that out, how to do it right later.
Right.
The memories, I guess I'd push a little. I don't remember too much. The Gemini opened up at Cedar Point.
That long ago.
Began my affection with, strengthened my affection with roller coasters, but, that was, at the time it was built, was the largest coaster, largest, fastest coaster in the world.
Mm-hmm.
Tallest, fastest. Now it's pretty humdrum, but back then it was something.
Mm-hmm.
Wooden coaster. Wow.
Wooden coaster with tubular steel. So it was a hybrid coaster. It really wasn't truly wood. It's not a true Woody in that sense. But that's moves. The moves like a wooden coaster because it has the give, whereas the steel ones don't. But right. It has the track of the steel tubes. But anyway, so that was kind of exciting. Like I said, finished up high school year. Pretty good, I think. I'm going to stretch it a little and say, well, the other part, though, is I started college at the University of Michigan, joined the marching band, got to go to the Rose Bowl that year. Mm-hmm. Most of that trip occurred in 1978.
Mm-hmm.
The game itself occurred in 1979.
Sure.
Michigan lost due to a phantom touchdown, if I remember correctly.
Yes.
I was sitting on that line, and I do not think the ball went over, but... Yeah, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
We did Battlestar Galactica was our show that year, which was fun because I remember in the residence hall in South Quad going down to the women's side of the building to watch Battlestar Galactica on Sunday nights. I think it was Sundays.
Sundays.
Because they had the TV in that lounge and we didn't have one in our side. So
wow.
It was a big thing, even though it only lasted one season. Mm-hmm. But that was my first trip to Universal Studios on that trip as well, because we had a free day.
Mm-hmm.
Also my first trip to Disneyland.
Did you see the Jaws?
Was the shark working?
Jaws worked. In fact, I got to be bionic on that trip.
Bionic.
Uh-huh. So that was pulled out of the audience, probably because I was wearing my marching band jacket.
Oh, okay.
Though I was there with two other guys from the marching band as well, including Todd Langan, who I've only recently rediscovered is still out there. He is the screenwriter for the Teenage Mutant Ninja Turtle movies.
Oh.
One of them for the first, Secret of the Ooze in that series.
Right, right.
So if you're out there listening, Todd, give me a call. He kind of dropped off the face of the earth for a while.
You went to school with him?
Yeah. Wow. He was an aeronautics engineer when I knew him.
And Todd, if you know Monica Lewinsky, could you get her to call Ron too, please?
Yeah. He worked on The Wonder Years and a few other shows.
Oh, cool. Cool.
So, but that trip, we didn't go see one of the shows because after that whole thing, and I got picked out for some other show or something, he said, so we want to go to the makeup show, and Todd said, no, I don't want to watch David get made up as Frankenstein next. Because for whatever reason, they kept picking me.
Mm-hmm.
I must have had that kind of innocent look and stuff, because we're all wearing our band jackets, but they kept picking me. So, But the bionic thing was funny because I had a camera that was on my waist at the time, and during the whole disaster bridge thing.
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
They had to make fun. David, stop, when you're pushing the wrong way. And some kid told me, he's got a battery pack now. And it's like, so that's highlighted my life, and everything went down from there. So those are what I remember from 78.
Oh, cool.
I'm sure there's other stuff. I just don't remember,
Yeah.
Mostly just typical high school, college stuff.
Yeah.
That was basically mine too, without the makeup in Universal.
All right.
I just remember a lot of high school stuff, getting your name cards,
mm-hmm.
which I never understood the reason for.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know.
But you bought the two boxes of them, so you need one, so you can have some spares. Out of 250 of them in a school that our class size was 78 people.
Oh, wow.
Oh,
I still have some of their collector's items. I'll put them on eBay for anybody.
All right.
Other than that, movie-wise, it was the first chord that John Williams struck.
Yeah.
And this is the guy that wrote this, music for Lost in Space is no longer Johnny. It's John Williams.
Right. He grew up.
And it was, you cannot overemphasize the amount of pleasure that soundtrack.
Yeah.
It's one of those, I have that, I still have it on. I think it's a DVD now. Please see the original comment about what a DVD is. Other than that, I remember the Jonestown Massacre. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that was huge. That was...
The demonic possession rage, where everybody thought everybody else was possessed.
Was that... Did Amityville Horror come out? The book came out that year?
I think it was Exorcist that kicked it off.
I was thinking Amityville Horror, the movie came out in 79.
So the book
I know I was in college when it came out.
Yeah. I know that was right around the time.
The book may have come out.
Yeah.
The book came out first.
78.
It came out, and then I think Poltergeist came out just shortly after that as well. Yeah.
Right.
And then they got all hepped up when they found out that the demon stuff's not working. Let's go after Dungeons and Dragons. A game.
Yeah, I know.
Which we all know Dave
was not in. Dave doesn't like because he wasn't allowed to play it. I get that. But I do remember reading Amityville. And I used to sleep in the summer because we didn't have air. I used to sleep in the basement. We had a nice little bed in the basement. Ooh. And I would read that and then turn off those lights in the basement. And, you know, you just had the upper window things that looked out on that was
scary. 1979 is when the book came out.
The movie. So the book definitely came out before that. Probably 77 or 78. I'm just going to do the quiz, but you're
I could stick for the quiz if it doesn't take too long.
No. All right.
Depends what the prize is.
All right. Chocolate bunny rabbit. No. Named Judy. That's they don't breed.
She won't breed.
She won't breed. Unicorn strawberries.
Now that's worth playing for.
Now that is our quiz, gentlemen.
I just want the horn.
No.
I thought that Pride Month was over.
I'm just offended by that. Pride.
You and I both.
1978, I was four.
Yeah. This. Anyway, we're going to do a quiz.
Wrestlers.
I didn't know any better.
And we're going to start at that end of the table. We'll start with Dave and then Bob because 1978. All right.
How many inches of snow did we get during the Blizzard 78?
23. How much money was the Blizzard worth?
It was neither one of those. Yeah. All right, here we go. Dave, you are first.
About Blizzard 78, though.
So did I.
I should have talked about that. That was
huge. I've never seen anything like that. But, you know, the snow was so high that when Ron went outside, he just went through the snow. He just disappeared. Anyway, number one. How many popes were there in 1978? Was there...
Did you say pokes?
Popes.
You got to take a peek at the pope.
No, not poke. How many popes were there in 1978? A1, B2, C3.
Are you talking alive?
How many popes throughout 1978?
I think it was three. Okay.
Bob. One, two, or three? How many popes?
I'm going to go with two because you got to take a peek at the poke.
All right, Jeff.
See, there was Judy Pope.
Not your people, you know. I'm talking the Pope.
I know a lot of popes.
You know, the big guy.
The glass car thing.
With the funny hat.
And the cute little Pope mobile.
Didn't have it back in 78.
That's true. No, wasn't shocked. All right. Well, what do you know? You were four.
Don't get surprised from him. Two.
What do you say, Ron? Dave and Ron got that. There were three. John,
the one got in and died almost right away.
Yep, within 25 days had
heart attack. Interestingly, that he died.
So
the Weinstein method.
Not that we're saying anything like that. Bob, here's your first question.
Ooh.
1978. Ooh. Which of Andrew Lloyd Webber's musicals had its first performance in 1978? Was it A, Evita, B, Starlight Express, or C, Cats?
One more time.
A, Evita, B, Starlight Express, or C, Cats?
I'm going to go with Starlight Express.
Okay.
Cats.
All right.
Memory.
Cats.
I'm going to say Evita.
It was Evita.
Oh,
Cats and Starlight came out like a year later, and then Cats came out in the 80s.
And that was the roller skating thing.
Yep. Yeah. Yep. Jeff. That was a roller skating thing. Jeff.
Sir.
George Moscone was assassinated in 1978.
Yes, he was.
Of which city was he mayor? A, Chicago. B, San Francisco. C, Houston.
Well, Moscone sounds like a Chicago thing.
So you're saying Chicago?
Sure.
He was one of two people that were assassinated in that city, San Francisco.
Okay.
San Francisco.
All right.
San Francisco.
It was San Francisco.
Harvey Milk, ladies and gentlemen.
Yep. Oh, Harvey Milk.
And that's why how I remembered it was.
Yep.
Wow, 4-year-old. Who knew?
Well, they made him.
He was all about assassinating a 4-year-old.
What did you do at 4 years old?
Watched a lot of news. Ron.
Yes.
Number four. Which of these television shows did not premiere in 1978? Was it A, Dallas, B, The Love Boat, or C, Fantasy Island?
Did not.
Did not premiere. Dallas, Love Boat, or Fantasy Island?
The plane.
Fantasy Island for Ron. Dave.
I want to say Fantasy Island as well.
And Bob.
Who shot him?
So Dallas, okay.
What did we talk about? I think it was Dallas, did not.
It was Love Boat. It premiered in 1977.
Yep.
Spreading rumors again.
Did you know that was first year Dallas? Yep.
Who are we at here? Number five. You. Whose remains were stolen in March of 1978?
Who?
A. Clark Gable. B. Jim Morrison. C. Charlie Chaplin. Ron just gave a Klingon salute up here.
I was thinking Lennon, so.
Clark Gable, Jim Morrison, or Charlie Chaplin?
I'm going to say Morrison.
Bob. Clark Gable, Jim Morrison. Charlie Chaplin. Okay. And Jeff. I just love these quizzes with Jeff because he gets this intense look like, I am going to sit here and figure this out.
I am going to say Charlie Chaplin.
Okay. And Ron.
What were the options again?
Clark Gable, Jim Morrison, Charlie Chaplin.
Clark Gable.
Charlie Chaplin. Yep. Jeff and Bob got that.
Is Chaplin cremated then?
I don't know.
Okay. I know there's a
Morrison.
All I was thinking, Morris, yeah. You know, that was kind of...
Yeah,
Morrison that, has said
he already I would think he'd have those weird followers.
Yeah exactly.
But
Bob.
He was buried in Paris, I believe.
Yeah, he was. Bob, you're starting this number six. What was the number one selling novel of 1978? Was it A, The Thorn Birds by Colleen McCullough?
Ooh.
B, I'm going to get this wrong. Silmarillion by J.R.R. Tolkien.
Silmarillion.
Thank you. Or C, War and Remembrance by Herman Wouk.
Oh, man.
Which one?
The first one.
Thornbirds?
Yes.
Okay.
Oh, gosh.
Jeff, Thornbirds, the one by Tolkien, or War and Remembrance?
I was going to say Thornbirds until you said War and Remembrance. Thornbirds.
Thornbirds.
Thornbirds, probably the miniseries, came out about the same time.
It was J.R.R. Tolkien.
Was it really?
It was the number one selling novel.
Read that piece of...
I'm just saying that...
Okay,
bought it. I'm not saying people all read it.
Okay.
People bought it.
Having to buy a copy of it for my roommate at Eastern.
Mm-hmm.
Well, J.R.R. Tolkien was big then.
Yeah. Who are we at here? Jeff?
Yeah.
Number seven. Who hosted the 1978 Academy Awards? Was it A, Bob Hope, B, David Niven's, C, Jack Lemmon?
Oh, you know what? David Niven's.
Ron.
Bob Hope.
It was Bob Hope.
I thought he was already done. I thought Carson took over at that point.
I think Hope ended up doing more than anyone else.
Yeah. And Ron, we'll start with you. Oh, how interesting.
David Niven had the one with the streaker.
Well, yes.
Oh, that's right, yeah. He made a comment about
he had a good line there, yeah.
Yeah.
Number eight, Who won the World Series in 1978? Was it A, Los Angeles Dodgers, B, New York Yankees, or C, Chicago White Sox?
Yankees.
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 Well, how sure are you, Ron?
Los Angeles Dodgers, New York Yankees, White Chicago Sox, White Sox.
It wasn't the White Sox.
You should go with Ron. It was the New York Yankees.
Oh, man. He stumbled. Yes,
indeed.
He was sweating on that one.
It says, damn Yankees.
Okay, right up your alley here. You are next, Dave, with this question. Who had their final tour in 1978? Was it A, the Sex Pistols, B, the Original Temptations, or C, Bread?
Bread.
Bob.
What was the second one?
Original Temptations.
Original Temptations.
Okay.
Oh, I guess it was.
Oh, it was Sex Pistols.
Okay.
I'm going to go the Original Temptations.
Because we talked about Lionel Richie already. So,
yep. Sex Pistols. Jeff got that.
78?
78.
I like pistols.
Well, Lionel Richie was Commodores anyway. What's
Lionel
Richie was Commodores.
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Number 10. Where are we at now? Bob. Right up your alley, Bob. Who won the Super Bowl in 1978?
Keep your damn cereal.
Was it A, Denver Broncos, B, San Francisco 49ers, or C, Dallas Cowboys?
I need help.
You want to phone a friend?
Yes.
Throw a lifeline.
Yeah.
Hello, Ron.
Denver Broncos, Denver, San Francisco, or Dallas?
Dallas.
I was going to say Dallas.
How about them Cowboys?
Dallas.
It was Denver Broncos.
Yeah.
It was not.
No, it was Dallas. Darn it. Fine.
You're going to have people calling in.
I know. Well, that'd be nice. number 11, Jeff. Which of these celebrities died in 1978?
Oh.
Was it A, Joan Crawford, B, Bob Crane, or C, Diana Hyland?
Ooh, I think Bob Crane died long before 78. Joan Crawford.
Ron.
No wire hangers.
Joan Crawford?
Ever.
All right.
Yeah. Crawford.
And Bob. Joan Crawford, Bob Crane, Diana Hyland.
I want to say Diana Hyland.
Okay.
The murder.
What's that?
The murder.
Actually, Diana Hyland died of cancer. She was the mother for the first season on Eight Is Enough. She was dating Travolta.
Oh,
so. But
that was in the 80s.
I take mine back then.
Okay, well.
It is his year.
It is your year. You want to choose one of the other two? Joan Crawford or Bob Crane?
Bob Crane.
Yo! I really thought it was earlier, too.
Yeah, no, 78.
I knew it was a kinky.
Well, yeah, that was kinky. Who did, that was you? Did the last one, or was that you? No, because he did that, so it's you.
No, it's Jeff.
No, he had the Super Bowl.
Bob answered last this time.
Oh, okay.
So it's Ron's.
I got you.
Ron's, 12. Which of these actors were born in 1978? Was it A, Ashton Kutcher, B, Chris Pratt, or C, Jennifer Love Hewitt?
Ashton Kutcher.
Dave.
Ashton Kutcher.
Bob. Ashton.
Cute. Ashton Kutcher.
Okay. Jeff, Ashton Kutcher, Chris Pratt, Jennifer Love Hewitt.
I'm going to say, how will you run?
He was four.
I was four.
Four, so Ashton. Yeah, you're kind of Ashton Kutcherous. Yeah. Yeah, that's what I'm saying. Yeah, let's go with that.
So you're going to go with that?
Yeah, sure.
It was Ashton Kutcher.
Yeah.
Yep, good job.
Look just like him.
Appreciate that, thank you.
Wow.
Mila, if you're out
there. We're going to move on. Number 13. According to Reader's Digest, this is you, right? No, this is Dave. According to Reader's Digest, what was the most popular Christmas gift of 1978? Mm. Was it A, strawberry shortcake?
Oh, God.
B, Kenner's Star Wars figures, or C, the handheld Mattel football game? Remember that little white thing? Little
dots. I'm going to go with the handheld Mattel football game.
All right, Bob?
I'm sorry, one more time.
Strawberry shortcake, Kenner's Star Wars figures, or handheld Mattel football game? What was by Reader's Digest?
I'll stay true to my school and say Star Wars.
Okay.
No, I think it was a football game.
All right, and Ron?
Yeah, I'm going to say Mattel.
Bob got it. It was the Star Wars figures.
I didn't think they came out yet.
They didn't.
I mean, you had pre-order and all that.
They didn't. They came out in 77, but no one expected to be a big seller, so they didn't have a lot. So 78,
they had them.
They had them.
Wow. So, when they were nice job, Bob.
The door. 14, and this is Bob. The oil tanker Amoco Cadiz ran aground. Where did this happen? A, Venezuela, B, France, C, Algeria.
Algeria.
Jeff.
Algeria.
Ron.
Venezuela.
And Dave. Venezuela, France, Algeria.
I'll go with Venezuela.
France. Yeah, come on. Who are we at now? We're at Jeff. 15, what country was the first to ban aerosol sprays that use chlorofluorocarbons as propellant? A, United Kingdom, B, Sweden, C, Canada.
Sweden.
Blame Canada.
Dave, United Kingdom, Sweden, Canada.
Canada.
What was the question you had, please?
What country was the first to ban, I gotta say that word again. What country was the first to ban aerosol sprays that use chlorofluorocarbons as propellants? A, United Kingdom, B, Sweden, C, Canada.
Blame Canada. Blame Canada.
Sweden. Jeff got that right.
I dated a girl from Sweden in college.
I'm going to stop following Ron now.
She didn't wear it.
You know, I thought everybody dated a girl from Canada.
Oh, from Sweden. This one's from Sweden.
Okay. And finally, Ron. 16. Bulgarian dissident Georgi Markov was assassinated by poisoning. What was the method of delivery? Was it A, a pen, B, a ring, or C, an umbrella?
Oh, wow. Cloak and dagger stuff.
I know.
Man from Uncle.
Umbrella.
Ella. I apologize if there's anybody, young person listening to that. Destroyed that. Dave, a pen, a ring, an umbrella.
A ring.
And an umbrella. I know what that means.
I'm going to say umbrella.
It was an umbrella. Yes, it was. And Jeff and Ron got that. So that was the quiz for 1978. And gentlemen, it looks like
Robert.
Bob got him.
Yay, Bob!
Bob got the congratulations.
Yay. I'd like to thank the little people that made this possible. I'll make more.
Big Deb is very proud of you, Bob. We got to say goodbye to Bob and Dave before we start our rest in peace segment. But we recorded something that Dave had to say about somebody here. So we're gonna. I'm telling how they do the sausage here. So thank you, gentlemen. By the way, our next episode, which when we record probably at the end of August, our next episode will be the late night television Letterman Tonight Show, all that stuff. We're gonna talk about that. Maybe we'll have some fun, do some our top 10 lists and stuff like that. So thank you, gentlemen, very much. As for the rest of you, and we'll be talking to you later. See you Saturday. Yeah, Saturday. Hey, everybody. Jeff has invited us onto his porch on Saturday.
He's going to regret that.
He might. He just might. But he might. But we're going to. And we might do some filming. This is what I was talking about. You might have a little extra special something. We're going to do some recording, some swimming, some drinking. Who knows what happens? Now, I heard your wife makes a mean.
Oh, it's a key lime daiquiri type of thing. It's can go down so quickly.
That's great. It's supposed to be hot that day, so it's going to be phenomenal.
It's going to be great.
I know. Yay! I might wear one of my caftans.
I don't think I'm going to make it.
Fine, I won't wear the caftan. Geez, old Pete's. Always one in the crowd. But anyway, this is the end of the month. or as close to the end of the month as this episode is going to be, which is probably the middle of the month. But we've had a lot of celebrities and icons pass away this since we recorded last. So let's go down this list. Dave Loggins. I know, started with one that everybody goes, what? Mm-hmm. He was a songwriter, very, very. He won a lot of Grammys as songwriters for Johnny Cash, Juice Newton, Kenny Rogers. But he did have one of his own hits, a one-hit wonder, which was called Please Come to Boston.
Please come to Boston in the summer.
Yeah, springtime. So that was him. He passed away. James B., I hope I pronounced the last name right, Siking, S-I-K-K-I-N-G.
Oh, James, he was in Hill Street Blues.
He was Hill Street Blues, I've got the
Hill Street Blues. I did not know Hill Street Blues. Hill Street Blues, I got those Hill Street Blues.
Well,
anyways,
yes, he died. He played Dr. James Hobart back in the early 70s for 4 years on General Hospital. And for any of you Star Trek fans, he was the original captain of the USS Excelsior in Star Trek III, Search for Spock. He was the one who tried to stop Kirk as Kirk stole the Enterprise, but Scotty had ruined it.
He also played the father, I forget the guy's name, that wrote The Christmas Story. He wrote a story about Ralphie's adventures during the summer. It was a summer, and he played the father. He played the old man.
Gene Shepard?
Really?
Yes.
Oh, really?
He was the author, yeah.
Yeah. Well, that's interesting. I didn't know that. Let's see. Where do I want to go from here? Joan Benedict Steiger, which was a General Hospital actress, passed away. Singer Joe Bonzel, who sang the tenor for the Oak Ridge Boys.
Oh, yes. Yes.
And, you know, and they had quite a few hits in the country, but Elvira was the big crossover, and
yes,
he was the major voice country for that, that song. Doug Sheehan, an actor who I loved, was on General Hospital for a while, and then moved to nighttime. He was on many, many things. I'll remember him on Knots Landing. He was one of the few people that actually got Val Ewing to marry him, who wasn't Gary. But a great actor, a good-looking guy. Shannon Doherty.
Oh, gosh, yeah.
I mean, we all knew she had been sick for a while. Yeah, she was struggling for a long time, but and she had, you know, she was popular. She was popular in not only 90210, but then I don't know if any of you saw Charmed, ever watched that, but my husband watched that a lot. But and she fought demons, and she you know was from all apparent from what we've heard, you know, was hard to work with at times.
Oh.
But you know, she was so young, and that to me was really sad. Shelley Duvall, was another big one. Popeye and The Shining, and we've talked about Shining a few times in that. And then she really went on after that. She delved into children's programming, and that's where she was the happiest and where she stayed. Mm. Richard Simmons,
yes. Yeah.
I mean, God. I mean, it's like big. Every name now that I'm going to say. General Hospital, but really, I mean, he kind of grew out of General Hospital, but he was just a huge in what it was, sweating to the oldies or something.
Oh, yeah, just a fitness guru.
Fitness guru. That's the word.
I saw some film of him when he was on Whose Line Is It Anyway?
Yes.
Oh,
I saw that going around. I didn't watch it, but I saw it.
Hilarious. Yeah.
Yeah. And I don't know if any of you used to watch Letterman.
He was a staple
on Letterman,
and he can make fun of himself. And
But you know, there were a few times that for me, and I loved Letterman. I loved Letterman more than it got uncomfortable.
Too much.
And then even to the point, it's like, is Letterman gone over the edge here, or are they really both in on this? And speaking of gurus, Dr. Ruth.
Good sex.
Everybody have good sex. Sex is
penis. Yes. More penis.
Sex. You know, I'm going to do a trivia question on the first 50. That's going to be one of them. Who said penis first? So remember it now, because these two are going to miss it. But
well, she didn't even say Woody.
No, she didn't say Woody. She said penis. Good sex. Good sex.
And the fact that she was this 4'8" German woman just made it, like, you know.
And she was adorable. She was a survivor of the Holocaust. Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
Her whole family died, actually, if I remember correctly.
We used to listen to her. It's just a crack up of...
I know. But she was smart, and
she was serious about
She was serious about what she was doing and talking about and honest about it. And she made sense. Yeah. She really did.
Yeah.
You know, and even to the point where I think some of the old church biddies are like, I don't want to like her,
but how could you not?
Dr. Ruth. Yeah. Penis. let's move on here.
Can we really move on from that?
I don't know. I put her last. Benji Gregory. This is a sad case. He played the young boy in TV show Elf, ALF. Was found dead of heat exhaustion
with
his service dog. They think he fell asleep waiting for the bank to open or something.
Oh, my gosh.
Yeah. And he had been running like 110 in Phoenix, I think, is where he died.
Yeah. Now, I didn't know he was schizophrenic. But, you know, he had demons. But I just remember, he was a cute boy. I mean, he was a cute kid. He really was. So that was very sad. Martin Mull.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That one hit me. I used to watch Mary Hartman, and Fernwood Tonight and all that. And, I used to think, he's the biggest jerk I've ever seen in my entire life. And yet I wanted to watch him week after week. And then, of course, he was everywhere. I don't think he ever had his own show.
No.
But he was on Roseanne for a few years. He was in Clue, one of the...
Yes, he was.
Colonel Mustard in Clue. I can't think of everything, but Martin Mull was he in Modern Family? Or was that was the sidekick that played Phil's father? Fred Willard.
Yes, he was in there,
But Martin Mull was just an awesome.
He was a character actor who made a phenomenal career.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Yep. Bob.
I tell you what, there's a few celebrities that have passed away that just hit me hard. Andy Williams, I loved Andy Williams' music. You know, my mom and dad played it all the time, and when he passed away, that was big. And but when Bob Newhart passed away, it was he was clean. That was the thing. Mm-hmm. He was a very clean comedian. Mm-hmm. And it was so simple, and I'm not just getting it from the TV show or the documentary they just did, but his delivery, so simple, kind of like a Jimmy Stewart type stuttering type thing.
Yeah,
a clean guy.
Well, there's a reason why he won the who wrote Tom Sawyer? I'm blanking.
The Mark Twain
comedy. Yeah.
Is a skit that he did on Saturday Night Live that Norm Macdonald wrote for him, specifically for him, because Norm Macdonald absolutely loved Bob Newhart. Mm-hmm. And it's shot from the point of view of the person that Bob Newhart's talking to. And it's him at the post office doing an HR interview. Mm-hmm. And I tell you, find it on YouTube. It is ultimate Bob Newhart.
Really?
It's amazing. Yeah. Yeah. And again, it's just subtle. Yeah. It's just him reading a folder, but it's so funny.
So is there something about Bob?
Yeah, I have a favorite memory of Bob Newhart. It was on my first trip to Las Vegas.
Okay.
It was myself, Mr. Yeoman actually went that trip as well, and a few other friends. We had all split our separate ways for some reason from some evening, and Bob Newhart happened to be in town. So I got a ticket to go see him at the Stardust, which I believe is no longer there anymore. There's a mall in its place. But it's interesting. So this would have been probably in the 90s, I think we decided is when it was. He did a great job. So even in the 90s, we're talking about 30 years ago. He was still in the 60s at that point. Just hilarious on stage and everything. But what's more funny is I sat down and we were at tables because, they serve drinks and stuff doing this, and got talking to the people that were at the table with me, and it turned out they were also from Michigan.
Oh.
More so, they were from a little town called Munith, which is up in Jackson County, which is where my mother grew up. These people were neighbors to my great uncle.
Oh my gosh.
So it was like one of those things where it's like I travel how many thousands of miles away
right.
to meet people that I could have met at home, but I didn't. But it's the, you know, delightful couple. I don't know if they're still with us, frankly. They were a little older than I was.
Yeah.
But they, but that was the thing. But like mm-hmm. I say, I had the pleasure of seeing Mr. Newhart live, and I will never forget that.
Did he do his radio, his phone stuff?
He did everything. So
yeah,
it's very good.
Yeah, just a great man. Well, and he lasted. I mean, it's amazing because I saw the retrospective. You mentioned it in the last episode that CBS did. Did you get a chance?
I did not get a chance.
He had a show in the 60s. He had a show in the 70s. He had a show in the 90s. Then he was seen. I mean, he was seen in the Big Bang Theory almost up to his death. He was in a couple of dramas, I think, one of the CSIs or something like that.
He was an Elf.
He was an Elf. But then you talk in the movies, Elf, ELF. Yeah. The man just went on and on.
Yeah.
I think he personally, I put him right up there with Betty White as a living legend.
And still sharp, very, very sharp. Mm-hmm. He had his mind, his wits. He looked very sickly, at least in his later years.
He was gaunt.
But he definitely had his wits about him.
Oh, yeah. He was sharp, I would assume, to the end. And what amazes me even more is that his best friend,
Don Rickles,
was one of what you would consider
fire and ice.
Yeah, yeah. You know. I mean, you know, that man just insulted everyone, and then here's just nice old quiet Bob, and they were best friends for they went everywhere together. They went on vacations together, and Buddy Hackett introduced his wife to.
She was a very lovely woman. I mean, mm-hmm. She was a beautiful,
very pretty,
very pretty woman.
Yeah. And as he said in the thing, you know, she kept him grounded because he was willing to be, I'm the star, I'm the celebrity. And she was like, no. You're going to keep your feet on the ground.
And it was her idea to end Newhart.
Yes.
The way it was.
Which, you know, and I can't wait because I've got an episode coming up where we're going to talk about finales, season and series. But man, if that isn't in my top three, just nothing.
Everything were just the way it was.
Just perfect.
Yeah.
And they talk about, and so folks, someday in the future, you're going to hear this whole story again. But, you know, Suzanne Plachette talks about how, the audience, they didn't want anybody to know. So they put.
The crew didn't even
know. No, the crew didn't know. Yeah. They put stuff over, they put sheets or whatever over the head and brought them in into the thing. And they kept her covered the entire time with the lights out and the whole bit.
Yeah.
But she said, as soon as those lights came on, the people knew that.
Yeah.
That bed.
Right.
Yeah. You know, they knew that bedroom. Yeah. So, that was just brilliant.
Classic.
And, of course, I don't know if any of you young people out there want to play a drinking game. there is a old classic drinking game where watch either one of the Bob Newhart shows. And every time somebody says Bob, you take a shot or you take a drink. And, you will get messed up because for some reason. And you know what else was funny? I'll wrap it up with this. In the thing we saw, he talked about the fact that his 1960 show was the Bob Newhart show.
Yeah. Yes.
The 1970 show was the Bob Newhart show. Mm-hmm. 1990s or 80s show was Newhart. Then he did another. I didn't know the last two.
No, with Judd Hirsch.
Well, before that, he did one just called Bob. Which was with Betty White.
Yeah, he played. Yes.
Yeah. And he played and that was named Bob.
Cartoonist.
So it was. And then his final one was with Judd Hirsch, and he played George and Leo was the name of the show.
Yeah.
George is his actual real name.
Correct.
So he said, if I do another one, I'm going to have to name it Buh. Because that's all that's left.
And I don't remember that one at all.
I don't remember the George and Leo one with Betty White, although I should have because, God, I follow her everywhere. So anyway, to every one of them, thank you for your time and your talent. Amazing people that are gone.
Yes.
Especially to you, Dr. Ruth.
No.
We loved you.
Good sex.
Good sex. Good sex. Anyway, so as I said before, next time up, we are going to do for September. Our first episode will be about late night talk shows. I know they're all over the place. Late night talk shows. Letterman and Carson and everybody's favorite Leno.
Are we going to cover Arsenio?
Yeah, we'll cover. Oh,
Magic
yeah.
Johnson. The Chevy Chase show.
Oh, definitely the Chevy Chase show. Definitely, I gotta hit on that Chevy Chase show. It was just that was TV.
That was jumping the shark.
That was jumping the shark before it started. Okay. Anyway, and then we're going to end when you thought our 4-part series was done. Uh-huh. I have not forgotten you, Mr. Bruns, who sent us the letter. Saying
yes.
that he would like to do 97.
Yes.
So we are going to do one more for you. And for Mr. Bruns, the one listener who asked, hey, listen, you ask us to do a topic. Yeah. We'll do that topic for you. We just like to know that we've got listeners out there and we're just not listening to ourselves.
Thank you.
Whatever it is, how outlandish the topic might be, we'll talk about it.
Absolutely. I will do a whole hour of the movie The Green Door, Beyond the Green Door, just if you write in a letter to say hi.
We might want to be careful.
Like I said, no matter how outlandish it is, send those requests in.
Ron said it, and I'm following. Anyway, so we're going to end next September with 1987, and then we'll be done for a while with the years that was, because I got some really fun stuff coming up. We're doing a two-parter if I can get the guys back to my house.
Oh, yeah.
Good Lord.
I know, that sounded bad.
I don't know what kind of a two-parter he's got. But.
does David know about this?
Monica, call me, please.
See, Dave leaves room.
I know, Dave, here we go. But we're going to do a two-parter on game shows.
Yeah.
And I bought some games from game shows that we're going to play.
Nice.
And we'll talk about old game shows. And then who knows, there may be a second part where we're actually doing a full hour of Match Game.
Oh, and you got a Gene Rayburn.
If you got that microphone,
yeah.
That's what she said.
No wonder they're not calling.
But anyway, until then, folks, I hope you enjoyed our 1978, and we loved you, Bob, but stay off our lawn.
If you can have sex, stay off our lawn.
Stay off our lawn. Penis.
Meow.